Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. Historically, the Watermark Art Center hosts a juried ceramics competition in November and December that showcases functional pottery from artists across the United States and beyond. This year, COVID got in the way of the normal submission process last spring, but as we've all been doing since COVID came into our lives, the Watermark figured out a workaround for the problem, and as a result, now has not only a world-class ceramics exhibit up, but also more ceramics for sale than possibly they've ever had in the past. Here to tell me more about it is Watermark Art Center's Lori Forche-Dene, and she's also going to be telling us a little bit about a collaboration between the Food Shelf and the Watermark. Good morning, Lori. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Happy Monday. Say, I drove by the Watermark at 5 o'clock this morning, and when it's dark outside and light inside, it allows for a great, I guess, would it be voyeurism to be peeking in the windows, and the Watermark is just full of pottery, which is a huge feast for my eyes. Tell us about this only clay exhibit that's happening this year.
Sure, and I think we can call it this year, we can call it window shopping. How's that?
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, we normally have work from It's Only Clay for Sale. It's a juried show. We have one juror. Work comes from all over. But like you said, because of COVID, we had to change things. And so we invited past jurors to participate. There are 9 jurors represented, the earliest one from 2004 up to 2019, which was Marian Angelica. And so there's each artist has kind of got their own little area. And we asked for some signature pieces, but then we asked if we could have a lot of other pottery. Kind of twofold. One, a lot of our artists have missed opportunities throughout the summer and fall and now winter for, you know, markets and opportunities to sell. And we know we have people who are looking to purchase, you know, handmade art. So it kind of was a win-win that we could do it this way and also kind of inform people about the show and highlight the past jurors. And then hopefully next year we can get back into the swing of what we've done before. Also this year we are, the exhibit is dedicated to Bill Gossman. He was our second juror in 2004. And unfortunately he passed away in May this year, was kind of a sudden thing with cancer, and we lost him. And he was an amazing artist and a wonderful community member where he lived in New London, and an important person in the ceramics family community. Everybody that's in the show knows Bill or has worked with him, and so it was our opportunity to kind of honor him. And he kind of is the epitome of what It's Only Clay is about, that shared work and engaging people, kind of the consummate teacher and promoter of art, and just it was a great opportunity for us to do that, mm-hmm. to say goodbye to him.
There are so many different styles that are available for for our viewing pleasure. Can you talk a little bit about some of the different styles of pottery that are in there, although they all fall under the category of functional?
Right. And that has been always the theme. And one of the things I like about It's Only Clay and just ceramic arts in general is it's a, you know, clay. A lot of people maybe think of the same thing. It's just pottery. And the name, again, it's kind of unassuming. It's Only Clay. But it's so much more than that. And the work, even when we've had one juror, the work that came around from the United States was, you know, you just saw a lot of different styles, different aesthetics, different materials. Maybe it's a red clay body, white clay body. Stoneware. So you see all of that in the show again. It's reflected in each artist's style, how they decorate it, the materials that they're using. It might be salt-fired porcelain, or it might be just a cone 10 porcelain without the salt. So it's interesting in how some pieces are very happy and cheerful and bright with color, and some have earth tones and minimalistic, you know, markings on them. So each artist has their own aesthetic. Most of the work is hand thrown on a wheel, but Marian Angelica, one of our artists we're going to talk about in a bit here, hers is all hand built. So her work is all done by hand, slab built, assembled to make cups, bowls, everything, spoons. So really exciting to see the different styles and kind of almost something for everyone who wants to, you know, own a piece of pottery too. Yeah. So
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Marion. She was the juror last year, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and she does a lot of work with porcelain. And
she uses a porcelain clay, and it's kind of high fired to a cone tan. Her glazes tend to be these beautiful, you know, cobalts or celadon, just really sheer, light, but rich coloring on the white clay body. And when we asked for each artist to provide us with some signature pieces along with the inventory for sale, she offered up, and I was so excited about this, she offered up a project that she does. It's for sustenance or food, kind of a social justice piece about people who need food. And so it's called River of Hunger, River of Sustenance. And it is a large sort of trough that is full of brown rice, and it's covered in empty spoons. And so the idea is that people will buy these spoons and will take a cash donation or a check to the Bemidji food shelf here in town, and that money goes directly to them. And so as people buy the spoons, those empty spoons disappear, and we see food, we see rice. And she's been doing this in her own community. She lives in Minneapolis. And so we were really excited that she offered this up to us. She makes all of the spoons by hand. They're beautiful. They're all different. Each one is one of a kind. And she donates them. So it's her time, it's her materials, it's her energy, and it's all for her to help provide food safety for people in our community, her community, wherever. And so I think she's raised over $10,000 with this project so far. So we're hoping to kind of get her a little bit further, but she allowed us to donate to our food shelf. So we're really excited to be able to, especially this time of the year and with what's happening with COVID, we think it's really important. So we were excited to get this project with her.
No kidding. And is it just a free will donation for each of the spoons?
It is. There's a suggested donation, uh-huh. but there is a free will donation, and whatever you feel you can afford, and you can get more than one spoon if you'd like. And so it's a great opportunity for you to do something and receive a little gift and reminder, or maybe it's something that you want to give to somebody else. And we have a little card, so if you give it to someone, there's a little note about what it's from and who made it and that it is something that's supporting the food shelf, so that they know that you've given a gift to the food shelf and they're getting a little treat along with that. So really generous of her, and we're really excited about it. It's been selling well, so we're excited about that, and we're excited to reopen again.
Yeah.
Coming up after Thanksgiving. So.
Right. So we had decided to talk about this last week. And then, of course, Governor Walz came out with some different restrictions. And I wondered, is this going to change how you guys function? And how are you situating yourselves for holiday shopping? It's really important, I think, to shop local this year. And local artists especially. I have so many friends who are artists. And they've, like you said, have taken a hit. How is the Watermark situating itself to best serve people in this odd time?
Well, and it's been kind of the exhibit calendars and our artist shows and things, it's almost it's a domino effect. Something gets canceled somewhere. And so we've been it's been a moving target for us to be open. It's a moving target for us to have some of our exhibits and things. And so we were kind of moving in this direction sort of anyway, just because we had to change stuff. But what we've done, we cannot be open for exhibits. That's considered a gathering place, and so we're not allowed to do that. But we are allowed to have retail. And we do have a retail store, but it's a little tight in there. We have, based on the numbers we're allowed, we're only allowed to have like four people in there at a time. So what the shop committee has done, I've got a group of volunteers. They're amazing, and they're working very hard right now to take that shop and have it go down the Lakeview Gallery. So now we've got two galleries now that will be open for retail. So we're calling it our holiday art market. It allows us to take the artist's work, spread it out, have more of it, and allow people to have a safe and socially distanced shopping experience. And we've had to cut back on our hours. We're only going to be open Thursday through Saturday right now, up to Christmas. We'll do the solstice, winter solstice. We'll be celebrating that on that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before Christmas. So, and we're staying open till 6 o'clock. So we've added an extra hour for people maybe want to stop by after work. But Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then that 21st, 22nd, 23rd will be open 10 to 6. And again, it's kind of, if you've been in the art center, it's nice and big and open. And so the work is on display, but it is set up as a retail so people can buy whatever they find. We will have to close the Mykonon. We're getting that ready for a new exhibit that we hope to open on the 19th when we're allowed to open for exhibits again. And BSU Gallery will be closed as well. So it's going to be like a big, giant holiday art market. And again, it's really comfortable for people to come in and shop. If people are still a little, you know, they don't want to, everybody's in a different situation, we're offering some personal shoppers. You can contact us. We'll have more information about that, but they can connect with one of our volunteers, and maybe there's a certain artist or something they're looking for, and those volunteers will help people find what they need for Christmas.
That is so cool. And I just think there's nothing better than buying local art for people, for gift giving.
Yeah, and I think that this time of the year, you know, and especially this year with everything that's happened, it's really important. I think people are trying, we want to connect, and I think connecting through art, you know, and giving that gift that's so personal, you're kind of, the artists are creating that work, and one of my potters said, you know, I'm making that work, and I'm thinking about who's going to own this, and you know, they're creating it, thinking about you, enjoying that cup of coffee or sharing that meal with your friends. And so there's that personal connection to another person through that work, and I think that's really evident in when you're buying a piece of original art. It has a little bit more of a human connection.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lori, and have a good holiday season.